The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This corner, weighing in with his take on current events, the smarty of the party, the mighty Mike from the right, the heavyweight of debate, the man who's in cahoots with the grassroots, the broadcaster master, Jimmy Sangenberger.
Time now for the third and final hour of the Jimmy Sangenberger Show here on News Talk 710 KNUS. Thanks so much for being along for the ride today as we talk about someone who apparently, or rather with someone who, I guess if you listen to the current Secretary of State, Jenna Griswold, is posing some sort of existential threat to democracy. I guess that's what all Republicans are, even if you vouch for and have for years the integrity and viability of Colorado's election system. Of course, I'm talking about the Republican candidate for Secretary of State, Pam Anderson, longtime former clerk of Jefferson County, as well as the former president of the Colorado County Clerks Association. And Pam Anderson joins me now. Good morning, Pam, and welcome back.
Good morning, Jimmy. Thanks for having me back on.
Thanks for coming on. So we've interviewed you several times on the program, but even so, I still want to ask that top line question I always ask candidates when you come on. Who is Pam Anderson and why are you running to be Colorado's next Secretary of State?
Well, I appreciate that. For those who have not met me before, I am Pam Anderson, a Republican candidate for Secretary of State. I was the Jefferson County clerk and recorder, and I was a nonpartisan elected municipal clerk before that with the city of Wheat Ridge. I have a history degree and a master's in public administration, and I'm married to Jay. We're business owners. We've been married for about 28 years. We raised a couple of kids in Wheat Ridge that I'm incredibly proud of, and I started working with state local jurisdictions, and I was executive director for the Colorado County Clerks Association, and started seeing a very disturbing trend for these offices, elected election officials, starting in 2018, becoming much more partisan, much more focused on politics and outcome rather than professionalism and process, as I've done for nearly 20 years here in Colorado.
So when we look at this idea that Jenna Griswold, for example, recently, I know you've seen it, it was all the big talk in earlier this month, but Jenna Griswold, the incumbent, went to The Guardian and painted a horrifying picture of a nation that's on the precipice of losing the right to vote in less than 3 months if Republicans win this November. I think this is the only way that Griswold is able to get any traction, to get support and donations nationally, etc., is by acting as though she is the leader against some existential threat. Yet here in Colorado, in my many conversations with you, it's very clear that she is not against an opponent who is posing some sort of existential threat. Not that I think that's happening widely across the country either among Republicans, but nevertheless, where is your mind at right now vis-a-vis Griswold and the narrative that she is trying to paint right now?
Yeah, I think that voters have a very clear difference in choice in leadership and how I will operate as the Secretary of State. I've worked closely with the last six secretaries, including my opponent, Jenna, and I've never seen this type of hyperpartisan and polarizing rhetoric utilized to elevate their own profile, as well as an election official, statewide or otherwise, that focuses so much on impacting and influencing outcome of an election, saying, you know, taking a side as that does versus what I will do and continue and remain focused on the work that we have done over the last 20 years on the process of elections. We should not be politicizing elections management and administration, whether it's on the left or the right. We need to approach this as a leader who is nonpartisan in their approach, who's focused on all voters. And my record stands. I represented one of the most politically diverse counties in the state for 8 years. And as a leader working across the aisle to not only provide the most historic access we've had in the country with our elections, but be vigilant on continuing to move the ball to improve access, the integrity, and the transparency of our election.
Again, we're talking with Pam Anderson, Republican candidate for Secretary of State. And when we look at the actual substance, as opposed to the partisan politics, and we'll get back to that, but when we look at the substance of our elections, what is your big picture take on the integrity in Colorado, how secure our system is, and whether or not and to what extent there is room for improvement?
As an election official, I was a legislative co-chair for the Colorado County Clerks Association. I was president and, of course, advocated and trained and educated election officials as their executive director. And when I became a county clerk, I had some of the same questions about our system that voters do. And this isn't a partisan issue. This is it easy for me to access my constitutional rights? How do I know that my vote counted? And is it accurate and transparent? And so we've instituted a lot of reforms. One, to make it more easily accessible with delivering a ballot, maintaining vote centers, modernizing our voter registration list, creating transparency with paper ballots. And I won an award on our audits that take those paper ballots to validate the outcome of elections. And all of those reforms are incredibly important that build all of the protections for voters around the system. But what professional, competent election officials know is that our work is never done. We've been through lever machines and punch cards and digital black box, and now we have marking devices and paper ballots and audits. We can always work to improve both operationally and access for our voters, and my background and experience will remain focused on that and also be a spokesperson, a credible spokesperson for where we are incredibly proud of the work that our citizens do for elections at the local level and where there's room to improve and hold people accountable for all of that.
I know you have several initiatives that you've proposed as far as voter education and other things, and we will get to that here in a moment. But when it comes to the election system and processes itself, what are two things that you would like to change as the next Secretary of State?
Well, one, I think we need to eliminate the partisan rhetoric and treat the office as with the fairness and equity for our candidates, for our political groups trying to access the political system, and for the trust, to regain the broken trust that we've lost, to make sure that people feel that the person that is leading is a fair referee. We can always improve our access and our transparency and our verifiability of our elections. We can look at some of the operational audits that I developed as a local election official, for example, operational audits around voter registration systems and whether or not the data and information in that database is accurate. A signature verification audit to make sure that our voter validation process is working as we expected. These are all best practices that many of our Colorado counties do, but I think we can codify it and make sure it's consistently applied so everyone can see where it's applied and how it's working. These are just a few of the ideas.
Yeah, well, when you talk about some actual steps like the signature verification audit, making that statewide, the same thing when it comes to auditing the voter registration list and so forth, those are real practical ideas for improvement. And I think what you're bringing here in our conversation, Pam Anderson, is a stark contrast, not just in your approach that's nonpartisan to General Griswold, but also in terms of actually talking about the issue. I think she's so caught up in her partisan approach that she can't name a single actual idea for how she would want to improve the system. She doesn't even want to acknowledge that there's room for improvement. While at the same time, of course, at the federal level, she goes and tries to undercut Colorado's elections with that monstrous federal bill that the Democrats tried to get through Congress. But the point is, I think we really need to be focused in this cycle, and I want to see if you agree, on the substantive issues of the day, as opposed to just getting bogged down in, oh, this is extreme, or this is the political way that with the lens that we should look at things when it comes to elections.
Well, and I think you need a leader that's going to fill the gap that has been created and the broken trust that we've seen over the last few years. Instead of throwing fuel on the fire for mistrust, we should be able to stand. And I've stood in many, many rooms over the last year, stand and talk to people, listen to the concerns of voters, regardless of their political affiliation. There is a reason why the majority of voters in Colorado have left the registration of the two major parties. I think that we need a leader at the Secretary of State's office that's going to eliminate that rhetoric and encourage and create confidence that voters have a fair referee and isn't going to be putting their thumb on the scale for one side or the other.
Speaking of generating more confidence among voters, Pam Anderson, Republican candidate for Secretary of State, we've got to take a break here in just a few minutes. But I want to ask you about one of the initiatives that you announced just this week entitled the Citizen Election Academy. And I think one of the aspects of this that I like just at a base level is that you're recognizing that there needs to be more voter information and not just considering, like Jenna would do, that any sort of concerns or just people who are crazy, who are extreme, etc. There's a legitimate concern rooted to some extent in a lack of understanding, knowledge, awareness, etc. of the inner workings. So tell us about this Citizen Election Academy you would like to institute.
Yeah, so I'm really excited about this initiative, and people can find out more on my initiatives page at andersonforsos.com. As a local election official and as someone who's gone around the country to educate and inform people about elections administration, I think that the Secretary of State's office can play a role. And if, when elected, I will institute a program that gives Coloradans an opportunity to do and invest a deeper dive into learning about the process of our elections, and also work with the legislature to incentivize that these folks that go through this academy to go back to their home counties, become election judges, be more informed about the entire process. Often as an election judge, you know, you're trained very well, but this gives us a broader view on how elections work and utilizing some of the same training and education that an election official has taken for our state certification. I think the more information we can provide, the more transparency we can provide by doubling down on that, we can increase confidence.
Now, you also have a proposal to make a certification aspect to this. What does that entail?
Yeah, so local election officials, I am a federally and state certified election official. There's coursework that you take at the Secretary of State to become a state certified election official. I think this program will be a variation on that, so that our citizens can have access to some of the same training and education that the county clerks have, that goes beyond what election officials or election judges and watchers get. So they can do a deep dive on understanding this system.
So one thing that I have been criticized for on occasion is as though I dismiss any concerns about elections and security of elections in Colorado, etc., because there are certain issues where I've said, okay, this isn't true, that isn't true. And yet, what you're proposing here suggests exactly what my mindset actually is, and I think you share this, is that you're not just dismissing outright concerns over our elections like Jenna Griswold does. Instead, with the Citizen Election Academy, it seems like you're proposing an opportunity for voters to address their concerns, to learn more about the system, and hopefully bolster that confidence, not just say, trust us.
Agreed. I mean, I've always said and will continue to say that people with good questions or recommendations have made me a better election official. It is how, you know, I led on ensuring that we have paper ballots and voter marked paper ballots, how we led on validating with those paper ballots that the calculator was counting it right with our audits. And the Academy is an opportunity for an exchange of ideas as well. To become better informed with evidence-based and factual information, not information driven by interest groups or factions of one side or the other. Mm-hmm. And we've done this pretty well at the local level. I think that that I can bring my experience in leadership and provide this opportunity that will help support and enable our local election officials and potentially give them an additional stream of trained, educated, civically engaged individuals across the entire state to step up and serve.
Republican candidate for Secretary of State Pam Anderson joining us here on the Jimmy Sengenberger Show. We're going to take a quick break. We'll have a few minutes more with Pam on the other side here on Denver's local talk leader, News Talk 710 KNUS.
Who's that coat and tie wearing young buck over there?
That's Jimmy Sengenberger, sir.
Sengenberger, eh? Excellent. Put him on the payroll.
Already done.
Jimmy Sengenberger, News Talk 710 KNUS.
Yes, indeed. Somebody has got to go, just as the great Tab Benoit is singing. And that person is Jenna Griswold, the incumbent hyper-partisan hack Secretary of State here in Colorado. We have been speaking with her opponent, the Republican candidate Pam Anderson, who is presenting a stark contrast in this race. And Pam, I want to crystallize two things regarding Jenna Griswold. One, we've talked a little bit about the partisanship. I think that's enhanced by the fact that she leads the Democratic Association of Secretaries of State nationally, and that certainly amplifies her desire to be partisan, I think. And the other thing is, as far as failure of leadership, if you look at her turnover as Secretary of State, over 200% turnover in senior staff. From 1999 to the end of 2018, we had two Deputy Secretaries of State, Bill Hobbs and Suzanne Steyert. And now under Jenna, we've had just three. So I'm looking at hyperpartisanship, also looking at failures of leadership. How about you?
Yeah, I think, you know, again, if you go to my website, I think that there has been a gap in leadership and management. I have a master's in public administration, and I think part of leading an agency and an organization is to pay attention internally. And what I have found working with the really good people at the Secretary of State's office is that these are mission-driven individuals. These are people that care about the mission of the agency, whether it's to enhance commerce or whether it's to provide fair access and equitable voting and security for our systems and for Coloradans. And what I think what we're seeing is a failed leadership example in my opponent, who is more focused and sees everything from a polarizing partisan lens, and who is only interested in elevating their own profile, utilizing, you know, the fear and concerns of voters to do that. And if that's the leadership vision, You are going to lose good people. There has been a lot of turnover in her top appointed staff. There's been 4 chiefs of staff for the agency. There's been at least 4 communications directors, and the legislative liaison has had massive turnover. That creates an instability and diverts from the mission of the agency. My background is I don't need to surround myself with yes people. I want bright leaders who will challenge me and who are committed to the same vision of the agency to enhance commerce and to provide fair, accessible, and nonpartisan professional elections administration.
And just to stress the word appointed staff, these are handpicked people, often Democrat partisans that she puts into those positions who are like, I've had enough. I got to get out of here. Again, Pam Anderson is running to replace Jenna Griswold and be the next Secretary of State here in Colorado. I want to go back to these initiatives that you've announced this week. One of them we discussed in the last segment was on the Citizen Election Academy. You have a couple others as well, and I wanted to drill down on these for a moment because I really think people are fed up with taxpayer funds being used by Jenna Griswold to promote herself and meanwhile not really abiding by a code of ethics either.
Yeah, you know, one of my first initiatives on taking office will establish a professional code of conduct for the Secretary of State, and that will be me and anyone who works at the agency. I saw up close how half the COVID money was diverted for commercials that should have more properly gone to directly impact the safety and security of voters. I saw this summer my opponent used $1.1 million of Help America Vote Act funds to do commercials with the images of 2 declared candidates. That is wrong. That is a misuse of that funds. And there's an opportunity cost for that. Help America Vote Act federal funding is one-time funds that's supposed to provide accessible and safe and secure elections. And I know for sure that there are projects on the list for those funds, like updating and improving our voter registration system, like closing the loop on security for the county clerks in the polling places, in their systems. And I will prioritize the office and I will pledge not only to say you will never see an image of me as a declared candidate using taxpayer money for voter education and outreach or any other candidate. I will work with the legislature to pass legislation prohibiting elected officials from using taxpayer money for ads with any candidate's issues that's couched as voter outreach. I will work with stakeholders with credible and tangible work across the partisan aisle to build consensus when possible. And I won't use the platform to alienate those that may not agree with me.
Of course, Jenna Griswold has a significant fundraising advantage. The one thing that she has gotten out of her hyper-partisan rhetoric has been donations because she's been the darling of cable news, talking about election conspiracies and all these different things. And that message is resonating enough with the base to bring in money. So the big question is, you have a solutions-oriented, nonpartisan-centered approach to your campaign. Do you feel like that is breaking through despite the fundraising advantage that Jenna Griswold has and sufficient to bring this race to a victory for you?
I certainly do. And I would point out that I had a pretty robust primary where, you know, Jenna's the flip side of my other opponents that did the same thing, that used, you know, fear and rhetoric to raise money. I believed and always had faith in voters that can see through that. And that certainly was true in the primary. And I believe that voters really in Colorado have a history and a tradition for electing leaders of very strong political conscience, but know that that office needs to remain above the fray. They look closely at the candidates, and Coloradans have a very clear choice in their approach. And frankly, our record between me and my opponent, Jenna Griswold, in providing that fair access and a fair leader to lead Coloradans to have faith and trust in their process.
Real quick, Pam Anderson, Republican candidate for Secretary of State. Will you be debating Jenna? Because obviously she didn't show up to the Club 20 debate in Grand Junction.
I am accepting every opportunity to highlight the contrast between our records and our background and experience as leaders in Colorado for elections and leadership. We do have a debate. It's not open to the media at Wingcrest. I think it's on October 5th at 10 a.m. That's in Highlands Ranch. I believe that our citizens will have an opportunity to see the contrast in approach and style and record. And I'm looking forward to that opportunity.
Interesting. Very limited for exposure for Jenna, which makes perfect sense because the difficulty of withstanding scrutiny is probably too great for her to bear because she can't withstand the scrutiny.
I believe that she will accept a debate down the road. The sooner the better, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think it's really important for candidates of all on all the races, from someone who's worked hard to educate and believes in voter education and outreach. I think that candidates should stand and say
yes,
who they are and what they stand for so people can be well informed on their choices.
Finally, because I know we got to let you go, Pam Anderson, what's a final word for our audience and where can folks go to learn more about you and your campaign?
Well, I appreciate the opportunity for your audience to hear more about my concrete plans when elected Secretary of State in November and serving Coloradans in a professional manner. I hope people will take a minute to go to our website and you can see more detail about those plans. Also, you'll see a broad coalition, Republicans, unaffiliated, and Democrats who have stood up election heroes across the state supporting our effort to restore trust and professionalism to the office. Please take a look at it at andersonforsos.com.
Pam Anderson, best of luck to you. Thanks so much for taking the time as always, and we'll talk with you again soon.
Thank you, Timmy.
Once again, Republican candidate for Secretary of State, Pam Anderson, joining us here on the Jimmy Sengenberger Show. We're going to take a break. Some final thoughts in our last segment. Then Peter Boyles takes the reins at 9 o'clock as we continue on Denver's local talk leader, News Talk 710 KNUS.
Jimmy Sengenberger, News Talk 710 KNUS.
Yes, indeed, there are always consequences for what we do, just as the great Robert Cray sings. Phenomenal song, by the way, Consequences. If you haven't heard it, go check it out. Robert Cray, man, he is great on stage. His albums are phenomenal. He is just an absolute all-star. Welcome back to the Jimmy Sengenberger Show. Clearly, the best damn bumper music known to man. 9 years running as of, wait for it, this coming Wednesday, September 21st. The nine-year anniversary of the Jimmy Sengenberger Show. Very excited. We began 5 p.m. Saturday nights way back on September 21st, 2013. And here we are just about 9 years later, 6 to 9 Saturday mornings, and appreciate you being along for the ride. We'll get to why I chose Consequences as the final bumper of this show here in just a moment. But I do want to note, since we're talking about music, that I got some music going on today. Starting with tonight, I will be sitting in alongside the Young Heart Band at Dougie G's in Thornton. That is a VFW post, the VFW post in Thornton. I think there's a $10 cover charge. They're really fun band. Greg Rice, the keyboard player, is my keyboard player in my Jimmy Jr. Blues Band. DJ Johnson fronts the band. She's got an incredible voice. She actually sat in with us for a set last Friday when we played for the Arvada Elks Lodge at their beer garden event. So music is a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it tonight. And then there's also the Walk to End Alzheimer's, where this hour is not live because I'm about ready to go and perform for 2 hours just playing harmonica at a station for the walk. So if you're participating in the Walk to End Alzheimer's and you see somebody playing harmonica, that's me. Come on over and say hi to yours truly. It is a very important annual fundraiser for my family, particularly because, as you may recall from a few weeks ago when my sister Caitlin Johnson joined us on the show, our grandmother, Grandma Sangenberger, has Alzheimer's. And for years, my sister has been involved in helping to organize the Walk to End Alzheimer's. And if you go to their website and you search Caitlin Sangenberger, she got married earlier this year. If you search Caitlin Sangenberger, you'll be able to find her page and you can donate for the Singing Mountains team. And would appreciate your support there. You can still donate today. And if you're coming to the walk, would love to see you. Please stop on by. So lots of music fun. 2 hours of harmonica playing straight by myself. It's a lot of fun. And then tonight, sitting in with the Young Heart Band at Dougie G's in Thornton. Now, Consequences. Why would I wrap up the show with that tune specifically by the great Robert Cray? Well, I would say a few different reasons. On the one hand, we just interviewed Pam Anderson for the last two segments. And Pam Anderson is the Republican candidate for Secretary of State. And if you listen to that interview, you got to hear that she's actually talking about real substantive issues and able to address them in a way that Jenna Griswold cannot. Jenna Griswold doesn't know the issues well enough, can't address them, is a hyper-partisan hack, has a record she's going to struggle to defend. She is struggling to defend. She can't defend it. And she's a horrible Secretary of State. Her turnover, as we talked about with Pam, in her office, senior staff, appointed staff, is absolutely staggering. Unprecedented, literally historically unprecedented, at least in modern times, for the Colorado Secretary of State's office. She's got to go. And Pam Anderson was talking about her Citizens Election Academy. She was talking about some of the reforms that she would do, additional audits and what have you, various concrete steps and actions. That's good. We actually have a substantive candidate for Secretary of State who can address those issues. This underscores the consequences of the primaries that we go through. In this case, I think it's a positive consequence of having Pam Anderson now in that position, able to be a serious, competent, experienced election official. And she's not being bogged down like a certain opponent by former primary opponent, by all sorts of legal issues. Who knows how many different legal battles Tina Peters is rolled up in? And now you got Mike Lindell. I talked about this when I filled in for Stefan on Thursday. Now you got Mike Lindell, having been raided by the FBI a few days ago, and his cell phone is taken, and he's listed as a co-conspirator in the warrant alongside Tina Peters, Conan James Hayes, who's the guy who allegedly, admittedly, used Gerald Woods, Jerry Woods' name badge. A Sharona Bishop, Douglas Frank, and I think one or two others. A Belinda Niley and Sandra Brown. I think that's the full list. And that kind of a development would be bogging down a certain candidate for Secretary of State if she was the nominee. But we don't have that. That kind of distraction. And that's good. That is a positive consequence of the primary process when it works out in a good way. In the sense of not nominating somebody who would be a heavy distraction. Or then, when it comes to consequences for what we do, how about good old Tay Anderson?
Hi, I'm Officer Gann, Denver Police. I stopped you for speeding, 35 and a 25. Can I see your license and registration, please? Permission to pull it out of my pocket?
Yeah, I've asked you for certain documents. I expect you to reach around to get them.
All right, I just don't want to get shot by you.
Well, that's a myth.
I don't believe that's a myth.
I just don't want to get shot by you. Oh, that's a myth. I don't believe that's a myth. Now, when Tay Anderson first spoke about the traffic stop, he presented that in a bit of a different way because he's the eternal victim. I was disappointed by a comment that the officer made as my hands were raised, and that was him calling police brutality in the black community a myth. I have contacted Denver police to review the footage to ensure that no other person within our communities is subjected to insensitive remarks like that in the future. Now, he was pulled over. The school board vice president in Denver was pulled over near Montbello High School for speeding in a school zone. And he makes himself out to be a victim in this statement he released last week. And then now we hear the body cam footage that I obtained on Thursday. We hear something very different. And of course we hear something very different because Tay Anderson wants to be the victim, yet he should have taken responsibility. Now he's facing consequences for what he's done. When you are any of the people that I just mentioned who are facing legal issues, there are consequences for what we do. And we need to make sure that we are underscoring the fact that there are consequences and there should be consequences. Tay Anderson making some victimhood narrative. Come on. Bottom line. When we look at politics today, we have a lot of politicians who think they are above the law, left and right, and they are not above the law, and they will face consequences in various ways. Tay Anderson needs to face far more consequences than he's gotten. But nevertheless, we have to keep that message going, that elected officials need to face these consequences. Candidates for office need to face consequences when they do wrong. And whether you lose a primary because of your own misdeeds and alleged misdeeds, or you are pulled over for speeding and fined by a police officer, etc., you deserve consequences. You will face those consequences. One other thing, this is entirely unrelated. Joe Manchin struck a deal with Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer recently regarding oil and gas and energy. Well, as the Wall Street Journal points out, the Interior Department last week agreed to conduct additional climate reviews for five federal oil and gas lease sales held in 2019 and 2020 that were challenged by environmental groups, meaning it's going to take even longer with additional environmental reviews to get these leases going. Activists claimed the Trump administration didn't sufficiently study the climate impact of the leases under the National Environmental Policy Act, NEPA, Rather than defend the earlier environmental reviews, the Biden administration surrendered to their progressive friends. According to last week's legal settlement, the climate reviews will incorporate the social cost of greenhouse gas emissions that could result from the leases. This takes into account indirect global costs of emissions, such as property damage from natural disasters, risk of conflict over resources, reduced agricultural productivity from drought, and more. As the Wall Street Journal editorializes, by including the social cost in NEPA reviews, the Biden administration will be able to claim that the leases have a significant negative environmental impact, even when they don't, and then seek to cancel them. Alternatively, the administration could try to force oil and gas producers to mitigate their emissions by helping fund its climate agenda. So this, and the editorial points this out, this isn't outright canceling leases, but it will effectively freeze their development. And at a time when we need to keep gas prices down, you don't want to do that. They close this editorial. During Mr. Biden's first 19 months, the government has leased a mere 126,228 acres for oil and gas production, the least under any president since at least World War II. Mr. Manchin promised his constituents that his deal with the White House and Chuck Schumer would change that. Watch what the Biden administration does, not what Mr. Manchin says. More consequences, folks, for what we do. Elections have consequences, and errors in judgment like Joe Manchin screwing things up like this also yield consequences that are not good. All right, that is it for us today. We'll be back next Saturday morning with Aaron Kane, the superintendent of Douglas County Schools, in studio, as well as gubernatorial nominee Heidi Ginnall joining us in studio. Have a great rest of weekend. Happy Constitution Day. And as always, may God bless America.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.